Greetings, warrior. Your training begins now. Join J-Rum and Mission as they teach the ways of combat, teach the ways of the blade, and teach the ways to harness your magic. This will test your mind, your body, and your soul. Can you survive?
Hey folks, what is going on? We are the Brothers of Tamriel. I am Jay Rumper, joined here by Mission Maniac and Grim Fate. How you guys, how's Mission doing today?
Finally feeling good that I'm done working. That was not even a complete sentence. I'm good, man. Had a long day of driving. Yeah, it was,
Let's hear about it. Where were you driving?
Let's see. Where did I drive from? I drove from... I don't even remember. Like, I'm in Fort Stockton, Texas right now for the night, and I did about pretty close to 600-mile day today. It was long and boring.
Oh, wow.
But jeez. I had Joe Rogan on my side the whole way. You know, the podcast.
nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that. Yeah, that's all I've done today so far. IRL. Grim, how are you doing today, buddy?
I am doing well. Just been mixing my attention between Apex and Elder Scrolls.
Oh.
And work-wise, work's been good. Had a new client come on. Seems pretty cool. We're hoping to have a pretty good program for her very quickly.
Awesome.
So we're hoping that'll work well.
What you been working on?
Explain that a little bit.
Go ahead. Which part?
Just explain to the people what are you talking about here.
Oh, so for me, I work one-on-one with people with mental and physical disabilities, and I am a transitional program. So I help people do basically build job skills and be more successful.
Awesome.
I'm gonna hit you up.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Can you make me a millionaire?
Yeah.
I mean, we could try.
I like the go get 'em attitude.
Have you had any like real success stories?
I would say yeah. Most of my guys, depending on how functioning they're, can get pretty darn independent lives. Like one of them is in a different state now, married with a kid, get decent job. So definitely
awesome.
Worth it.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet, man. As far as it goes for me, IRL, I've just been swamped at work. As you guys know, I'm an electroplater. I'm a process manager out of a plating shop, and I deal a lot with chemistry. I was trained by a chemist, as you guys know. I do have morning updates on our Discord, so you guys can always check those out, and I always show a little bit about my work and kind of talk about what's to come with the podcast and what's to come with, I call it Citadel Rumberg. It's all about what I've been up to in game and kind of what's going on in the Elder Scrolls universe a little bit, and other than what we cover in the podcast. So definitely check out my Citadel Rumberg updates, my morning updates. I usually do them around like 5:30 or 6 in the morning, so it's pretty early, but you guys can always check them out on my Twitch, which is twitch.tv/jrumper. You guys know that. Other than that, that's pretty much all that's been going on with me. I've just been working my ass off at work and coming home and doing my regular streaming around 3 p.m. Central Standard Time to 4 p.m. Central Standard Time. So you guys can always catch me there. But that's about it. That's about all I've been up to. Mission, what kind of episode do we got today?
Dude, we got a good one. We're finally getting into a little bit of a more challenging dungeon, which we're diving into City of Ash 2 today. And we're going to be covering the Mag Necromancer today. I know the necromancers are still a lot of people's favorites. They still are fairly new. Me personally, I don't like them, and I will discuss why when we get to that portion. But yeah, it's gonna be a pretty good episode, and we got quite a bit of news today too, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, I've got quite a bit to talk about. So before we dive in, I just want to let you guys know it is February. So as you guys know, new month, which brings, everybody knows, a new Crown Store showcase, folks. Here we go.
Oh yeah.
We're ready. All ready for the new month. Hopefully you guys are excited for it. And I'm really excited to dive into this and tell you guys what's going on in the ESO world. So you guys got anything to add before we dive into the news?
I have one thing real quick. We're going to mention it again at the end of the show, but just to get it out there in front, something we've been lacking on for the past couple weeks. If you guys listen to us over at Apple Podcasts, make sure you leave us a review, make sure you type out, leave us a written review so that we can shout you out here on the show. Every time we get a 5-star review, if there is a written review with it, we will definitely shout you guys out on the show, give you some love. Just wanted to bring that up before we forget.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. We'll make you guys famous. We'll shout you out on the show. Just make sure your name is there and write us a written review. Every 5-star review really, really helps the podcast. So it helps people realize that we are a real podcast and we say real things.
Which, I don't know if you guys knew this or not, but I checked the other day and we actually have 7 5-star reviews. Or 7 5-star ratings. We don't have 7 reviews, but we have 7 5-star ratings. So we're doing something right-ish.
Yeah, we're doing
seven of them, right? 7 people think we're right. But take it away with the news, man.
All right, folks, here we go. Crown Store Showcase, February 2020, which I keep fucking that date up because every time I write my notes at work, I always write 2019, and it is definitely not 2019. So 2020, February Showcase, here we go.
I have yet to do that this year.
Oh, really? You've been pretty good.
I have not written 2019 since we hit 2020, and I cannot believe it.
Nice. I cannot boast the same whatsoever.
So here's the deal. Show your devotion this Hearts Day and prepare for a celebratory return to Merkmire with a selection of new and returning items, all coming to the Crown Store this February. You can view the items currently on sale on the Crown Store page. To purchase these items, you must first acquire crowns from the Buy Crowns page. And first thing up we got here is the ESO Plus deals. All ESO Plus members have access to a monthly selection of exclusive deals and items. You can find more information about them in this article and preview this month's ESO Plus exclusive items below. So here's what the exclusive free items are. It's and this is actually a really cool one. It's a miniature statue of Sothasil, the clockwork god. The Sothasil Tinkerer statuette will be available in the Crown Store for free, exclusive to ESO Plus members on all platforms for a limited time from February 6th to March 5th at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Now, have you guys picked this up yet?
Yes, I have.
I have not.
I do not miss my statuettes.
I definitely have, too. Nope, me neither. I definitely picked this up as soon as I saw it. So, On top of that, we're getting exclusive discounts. So here's what they're saying. Pledge commitment on sacred ground to bond a single character to another. Both will earn 10% more experience while adventuring together and wearing the matching Rings of Mara. Please note that the pledge is consumed upon use. In celebration of Tamriel's Hearts Day, the Pledge of Mara will be discontinued for all ESO Plus members on all platforms as an exclusive ESO Plus discount from February 13th to February 17th at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And next up we have Crown Gem exclusives. And they're saying only the Wasif Helial would breed such a colorful and sweet-natured horse lizard, which just sounds weird as hell to me. A colorful and sweet-natured horse lizard. What do you guys think about that description?
I immediately go to the mating process.
Yeah.
How does that work?
How the hell did that happen?
I want to know. Which was the male, which was the female?
Yeah, exactly. How'd it happen? It's a scientific experiment. That's what I say. It's all a conspiracy.
Absolutely.
So this is ideal for those times when you're wandering through Mirkmire looking for trouble to quash. The Wasik Horse Lizard Mount is a Crown Gem exclusive and will be available in the Crown Store on all platforms for a limited time during the Mirkmire Celebration event in February. Stay tuned for details about the event. Next up we have is Crafting Motifs. As Chronicler of Blades, Kaisa Veda declares, one must follow the old rules correctly to make gear. Errors lead to dishonor. Follow this dictate, and learn the Honor Guard crafting style. That is, once again, the Honor Guard crafting style. The Honor Guard Crown crafting motif will be available in the Crown Store on all platforms starting on February 27th. This crafting motif is already available in-game. The Honor Guard motif chapters have a chance to drop in Black Rose Prison by defeating the final boss, Drakey. A small drop chance in normal mode and a guaranteed drop for completing veteran mode. And that covers our Crown Gem exclusive. Next thing we got up are outfit styles. And we have the Elder Scrolls Artifact, Fork of Horripilation. After your one-handed weapons outfit style with a replica of the Fork of Horripilation, there it is. Elder Scrolls Artifact, a weapon created by the Daedric Prince. Guess who it is? Sheogorath. This is one in a series of weapon outfit styles inspired by legendary Elder Scrolls Artifact weapons. The Elder Scrolls Artifact, Fork of Horripilation, will be available in the Crown Store on all platforms from February 3rd to February 6th. So we've got a lot of dates here that we need to keep track of here, folks. So if you guys need to thumb back through the podcast, feel free, and that way you know exactly which dates are what. So Dragons Soar over Elsewhere and Beyond. Are you geared up to go fight them? If not, you can alter your armor's appearance by using this complete set of Legendary Dragon outfit styles. The Legendary Dragon Armor Style Pack will be available in the Crown Store on all platforms starting on February 6th. hunt dragons with deadly and stylish weapons. Alter your weapon's appearance by using this complete set of legendary dragon outfit styles. The legendary dragon arms pack will be available in the Crown Store on all platforms again starting on February 6th. Have you proven your worth by facing down the giant Dremora Falcon Scoria in the City of Ash? Ironic, because we just covered the City of Ash last podcast. If so, reflect on your victory and alter your weapon's appearance to match the Undaunted Falcon Scoria awards by using this complete set of outfit styles. The Falcon Scoria arms pack will be available in the Crown Store on all platforms for a limited time from February 26th to March 25th. And that is just about an entire month that you have to get that Falcon Scoria arms pack. During the same time period, the Falcon Scoria mask style page will have a chance to drop from the final boss in Veteran City of Ash 2 dungeon. And the Falcon Scoria shoulder style page will have a chance to drop from Galarian's Mystery Coffer, which is sold by Galarian the Redbeard. Now, the next thing we've got for the Crown Store showcase, and this is what gets people all jazzed up, the Crown Crates. We've got a mystery collection of Merkmire related items. The Zanmir Crown Crates will return to the Crown Store on all platforms for a limited time during the Merkmire Celebration event in February. Stay tuned for more details about the event. And the next big thing that we got here are the DLC. Begin your Dark Heart of Skyrim adventure with two exciting new dungeons, Ice Reach and Unhallowed Grave. Venture to a storm-cursed island and unholy burial ground, battling cunning witches and vile necromancers, and experience an all-new story. The Harrowstorm DLC game pack will be available in the Crown Store on PC Mac in late February, and on Xbox One and PS4 in early March. Watch for launch date details later this month. Start your Dark Heart of Skyrim year-long adventure. That's right, folks. This is another year-long adventure with Harrowstorm and two new dungeons, Ice Reach and Unhallowed Grave, like we just mentioned. This includes the DLC game pack and exclusive Halland's Jackal pet, Pyre Watch Jackal Mount, and even more. The new Harrowstone Collector's Bundle will be available in the Crown Store starting in late February for PC Mac and on Xbox One and PS4 again in early March. So, travel to Merkmire, the southernmost region of the mysterious Black Marsh, and venture into the deep swamps to learn some of the hidden secrets of the Argonians. Includes the Shellback Warhorse, Cantaloupe Swamp Jelly Pet, and a stack of experience scrolls, which you guys can always use more experience scrolls. The Merkmire's Collector's Bundle will return to the Crown Store on all platforms for a limited time during the Merkmire Celebration event in February. Stay tuned for more details about the event. Next thing we got up are emotes. Express yourself with these three. That's right, three of them. Three Dragon Hunter themed emotes. The Dragon Hunter emote pack will be available in the Crown Store on all platforms starting on February 6th at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Now, the next thing we've got up are events. A ticket used to purchase rare goods from the Impresario event merchant. Curious as to what goods? Well, chat with her and see what she has to offer. That's all you gotta do. Single event tickets will be available in the Crown Store on all platforms during the Merkmire Celebration event. Again, stay tuned for details about the event. Event tickets are also giftable to other players from within the Crab Store, which I think is that new? Have they always been giftable? Do you guys know?
I'm actually not
it's
sure.
It's new within the last patch.
Okay. Yeah, I wasn't sure. I didn't think they were giftable at some point, but evidently they are now.
Mm-hmm.
Next thing we've got up for the Crown Store Showcase is furniture. For all you housing folks out there, that Breezy Night and Bruma music box. When activated, it plays a music box arrangement of the romantic Hearts Day favorite, That Breezy Night in Bruma is the title of the song. The That Breezy Night in Bruma music box will be available in the Crown Store on all platforms for a limited time from February 13th to February 17th. So, we've only got 4 days to pick this up, folks. So, if this music box is what you're wanting, you better jump on it.
It's a great Valentine's Day gift for your hubby or your girl.
Exactly. And I hate the word hubby, by the way.
You're welcome.
Hearts Day Retreat Furnishing Bag. Set the scene properly for Hearts Day with this romantic furniture bundle, which includes flowers, sweet rolls, and much more. Each item helps those so inclined fulfill on the day's delightful promise with their partners in the adventure called life. The Hearts Day Retreat Furnishing Pack will be available in the Crown Store on all platforms for a limited time, again, from February 13th to February 17th. So that's another four-day event that we've got here, four-day stretch to pick that up. The Strange Heart of Merkmire holds forgotten ruins, curious plants, bizarre creatures, and no end of peril. A safe return from such an expedition is sure to benefit the research of any scholar, or the gallery of any courageous adventurer. The Deepmire Expedition First Furnishing Pack will return to the Crown Store on all platforms for a limited time during the Merkmire Celebration event in February. Stay tuned for more details about the event. ESO Plus members will receive a discount on this item, so that is very nice if you guys are subbed. So this is what they're saying. By my hand, blood enters the marsh. By my deed, the marsh is fed and grows fertile. By my silent watch, the hist may thrive. Honor my doings, O Sithis, for my brethren show me but fear. Guard me not, O Sithis, for only my own strength honors you. The Shadow and Stone Furnishing Pack will return to the Crown Store on all platforms for a limited time during the Merkmire Celebration event, which is again in February. And ESO Plus members will receive a discount on this item. Next thing we got up, which is very exciting news, we have houses. Long ago, the Secret of Pyre watch bred Loke stay moist in an underground Zanmir manor with its own submerged picture windows. Gaze into the depths of a lush Merkmire lake from the sunken interior of this capacious Argonian edifice, where comfort mixes casually with the bizarre Zuth. The Lakemire Zanmir Manor will return to the Crown Store on all platforms again for a limited time during the Merkmire Celebration event in February. If you guys haven't picked up on it yet, the Merkmire Celebration event, guess when it is? It's in February. Next thing we've got up here are mounts. long ago, the secretive pyre watch bred local jackals into mounts, allowing them to move swiftly as they patrolled their cursed caverns. Now this nimble and fleet pale steed, it can be yours. The Pyre Watch Jackal Mount will be available in the Crown Store with the launch of the Harrowstorm DLC game pack in late February, PC, Mac, and in early March for PS4 and Xbox One. This mount is also included in the Harrowstorm Collector's Bundle. Watch for launch day details later this month. So that covers the mounts. Next up we have our pets, the Frost Atronach Cagootie Calf. A Frost Atronach in Cagootie Calf form, this companion embodies the essence of Vardenfell's wilds in an icy way, making it an interesting choice for heroes seeking to stop threats in that region. Native dark elves might look askance at you, however. The Frost Atronach Cagootie Calf pet will be available in the Crown Store on all platforms for a limited time. Here's a different date for you folks, February 3rd to February 6th. So you don't have much time to pick that up, because as of this recording, it is the 9th, so it has come and passed. You needn't know conjuration magic to have an Atronach companion. Clan Dureni mages have gifted bear cubs of that provenience to those they deem worthy. They can be oddly heartwarming despite their frosty form. The Frost Atronach bear cub pet will be available in the Crown Store on all platforms for a limited time from February 10th to the 13th. So, not much time there, but you guys still have time as of this recording. Some would choose to pass on a cinch cub that has sharp edges and no fur, but not you. In fact, you can look forward to its cooling nudges for attention while trudging through deserts. The Frost Atronach cinch cub pet will be available in the Crown Store on all platforms for a limited time from February 17th to February 20th. And like I said earlier, guys, we've got a lot of dates here. So if you gotta thumb back through the podcast to listen to the dates, feel free, and then you'll know all the dates of all these things. So this pup isn't one for simple games of fetch, but it will follow you loyally through your adventures. That and its ability to chill your water simply by curling around it? Practical and cute in its own frosty way. The Frost Atronach Wolf Pet will be available in the Crown Store on all platforms from February 24th to February 27th, a little bit later in the month. Next pet we got here, after news of the 7th Legion's presence near Aelin's Stand spread, several Evermore citizens moved quickly to protect some at-risk fauna. Among them, a breed of easily domesticated jackals. Now, one of these fierce companions can roam at your side. The Holland Jackal Pet will be available in the Crown Store with the launch of Harrowstorm DLC Game Pack, which is going to be in late February on PC, Mac, and early March on PS4 and Xbox One. This pet is also included in the Harrowstorm Collector's Bundle, so watch for launch details later this month. Next pet we got up is the Plum Swamp Jelly. It's the rarest of the so-called flavor jellies, and seeing one is considered by many Argonians to be a sign of good fortune. It's not at all unusual for an Argonian to wear a plum jelly's feeler as a good luck tentacle. The Plum Swamp Jelly Pet will return to the Crown Store on all platforms for a limited time during the Merkmeyer Celebration event in February. And ESO Plus members will receive a discount on this item. Whether you're delving into the dense jungles of Merkmeyer or exploring the equally perilous matters of the heart, there's a host of fantastic items coming to the Crown Store this month. We've got all kinds of stuff coming to the Crown Store. Just to recap, we've got housing, we've got pets, we've got mounts, we've got crates, we've got everything going on in this Crown Store showcase for February. Don't forget to check out what is currently on sale on the Crown Store page and stock up on crowns from the Buy Crowns page if you want to snatch up some of these new goods. Are you planning to pick up any of the February Crown Store showcase above? Let us know. Let us know at Brothers of Tam on Twitter, or shoot us an email. We're brothersoftamrielpodcast@gmail.com. And that covers the Crown Store showcase. So, do you guys have anything to add about the mounts or about the housing or anything?
I spent last year, I
nothing
think it was,
on my end.
I spent so much money getting that frosted cinch lizard. It's not even funny. I think I ended up buying like...
That's hilarious.
Dude, I bet it was like in excess of $300 worth of crates to get that stupid mount.
Oof.
Jeez.
Dang. Ridiculous.
That's a bit of news.
Yeah, I don't have it anymore. It's on console.
Yeah, I would say so. All on console.
Uh-huh.
That's something that we need Zoss to get on top of. We need some kind of cross save or something to get, not even like our characters over to PC from console, but just like our achievements and our mounts and everything.
Oh yeah.
Our items and stuff that we collect, collectibles. I think that would be so cool. So our next bit of news that we've got here is it's a meet the character. Mother Cianate. There it is. That's the one. So we're going to learn about Mother Cianate, a fearfully powerful witch and the master of the Ice Heart, Ice Reach Coven, coming soon with the Harrowstorm DLC. So memorandum for Second Legion High Command. Summary of battle as dictated by Opicio Cornelia Medaria. Sun's Dusk 26-2E-577. With deepest regret, I must inform the Legate that our pursuit of Ice Reach Coven has failed. Recent battles north and west of Falkreath resulted in major casualties, diminishing both fighting capacity and morale. In light of these developments, I have ordered an immediate withdrawal of all remaining legionaries to the Jiral crossing to await further orders. I strongly recommend that the Legate delay any additional deployments north of the Jirals until the Coven threat moves farther north. So during, and this is, these are just notes from the Legate here, from the General. So initial reports indicate that the Ice Reach Coven served the Reach Emperor Leovec as advisors only. Their leader, a witch called Mother Cianite, disproved that belief in a horrific fashion. So, that's who we're going to be seeing. We're going to be seeing Mother Cianite, a fearfully powerful witch and master of the Ice Reach Coven, coming soon with the Harrowstorm DLC. Now, do you guys have any questions about
that? Nope, not I.
I say no, sir.
Okay, so that pretty much covers the news for this week. Do you guys have anything that I didn't cover over the news?
No, I think you pretty much covered it all. That was a hefty news segment there.
With the Crown Store showcases, it's always a nice long news segment, but nice and thorough, so if you guys haven't heard it before, or if you have, this is all just a refresher for you. But I just assume that this is the only bit of news that you guys are listening to, so I want to cover everything that is in the Crown Store showcase, which is why I went on so long about that. And that pretty much covers the news. So now we've got the Magicka Necro to come. Now, do you guys have anything to add before I jump into the passives of the Magicka Necro?
No, sir. Send it.
You guys ready for it? Here we go. So, we're going to be covering the first skill line, which is Gravelord. The Gravelord's first passive is Rapid Rot. This increases your damage done with damage over time effects by 10%. That's pretty huge. That incentivizes you to use a lot of dots. And next one up we have is Dismember. With a Gravelord ability, while a Gravelord ability is active, your spell and physical penetration is increased by 1500. Again, that incentivizes you to use those Gravelord abilities. Next passive we have up for the Gravelord line increases your critical strike chance against enemies under 25% health by 10% for each Gravelord ability slotted. So if you're in that execute range and you've got a ton of Gravelord abilities slotted, you're getting 10% more damage, critical strike chance against each Gravelord ability slotted. So that really will add up over time once you are in your once you're in that execute range. So next thing up we have here is reusable parts in the Gravelord build skill line here. When an enemy dies within 4 seconds of being damaged by one of your necromancer abilities, your next Blast Bones, Skeletal Mage, or Spirit Mender cast is free. And that pretty much covers the Gravelord abilities. Now, do you guys have anything to add to the Gravelord passives here?
No. I think you covered all the ones that I usually would be muddling with.
Okay. Don't worry about my dog over there. She's squeaking on some kind of toy. I don't know what it is. The next skill line we have up for passives is the Bone Tyrant. First one up we have is Last Gasp. So, we've got Last Gasp increases your max health by 2,000. And then the one after that is Health Avarice. This increases your healing received by 2% for each Bone Tyrant ability slotted. So there again, this one adds percent for each Bone Tyrant ability slotted, so it incentivizes you to use a lot of Bone Tyrant abilities. Now, our next passive up is Disdain Harm. This reduces the damage you take from damage over time abilities by 10% while you have a Bone Tyrant ability active. So just like our last series of passives, instead of increasing your damage under 25% by 10% for each ability slotted, this one is going to reduce the damage over time abilities by 10% just while having one active, a Bone Tyrant ability active. Our next one up is Death Clean. With a Bone Tyrant ability slotted, whenever an enemy you are in combat with dies within 28 meters of you, you restore 100 magicka and stamina. And this effect can occur every 2 seconds, which is awesome. Our next skill lineup we have is Living Death. Undead Confederate is our first passive. While you have a Necromancer Summon active, your Magicka Recovery and Stamina Recovery is increased by 300. Next one here is Corpse Consumption. When you use an ability on a corpse, you generate 10 ultimate. This effect can occur once every 16 seconds. Next one up we got here is Near Death Experience. While you have a Living Death ability slotted, your critical strike chance with all healing ability is increased by up to 20% in proportion to the severity of the target's wounds. That is huge for a necromancer healer. And I've seen a lot of necromancer healers out there that are just, they just rock the world. Our next one up here is Curative Curse. While you have a negative effect on you, your healing done is increased by 8%. And that about covers all the passives of the Necromancer in general. Not just the Magicka Necromancer, but the Necromancer in general. Do you guys have anything to add to that?
Nothing on my end, sir.
No, not really.
I'm just looking forward to giving you some PvP builds and knowledge, but most of those passives are the same ones that you'd be using as a PvP player.
Okay. I think we might have lost Mission. I'm still trying to get him back in here. Mission, are you still there?
Yep. Can you guys hear me?
I was thinking the same. He did say he can hear you, but I can't hear him.
Not.
I'll try and call you guys again. See if that'll fix it.
Says he's connected, but I don't see him in the call.
Right.
So anyways, let's go ahead and jump to the PvP side of things here. And Grim, why don't you take it over and, while I try to get Mission back in the call. And,
sounds good.
Yeah, we'll go from there. Let's see what you have to say about the PvP Magicka Warden.
Alrighty. So for PvP Magicka Warden, they're kind of like a medium tier class. I wouldn't say they're top tier or bad tier. They're like kind of right in the middle. They're a type of class that responds well to having really high max stats, a little bit more over than damage. So you'll see a lot of the common builds you'll see is like a Necropotence and Crafty, or Necropotence and Breakthrough. Monster sets, you can use Zahn sometimes. That one gives you a nice stream of fire that's going to hit him pretty hard. You've also got Slimecraw if you want flat damage. So there's quite a few nice options there.
I love Slimecraw.
Yep, it's just a nice flat 8% more damage. Another sets that you could run would be Braithwaite and New Moons. Pretty easy to get, pretty cost effective. For weapons, you can do Inferno Staff is usually your best bet, or Lightning Staff on front bar, Soren Board or Resto on back bar. They're a class that it doesn't feel like it's going to have a lot of burst, so you're going to need to put some overtime and effect skills to really buff it up to get you those kills. It does have Glacial Colossus. It's one of the best alts in the whole game. Gives major vulnerability, so 30% more damage to players hit with it. Three big hits in a row. Has a nice stun, just everything you really need in ultimate. So you're going to work most of your kills around your ults. Time to burst, along with your Stalking Blast Bolts, is going to be the other one. This skill can get kind of buggy, so you really have to watch and basically playing your timing when that actually goes off correctly, because that skill can be very buggy. They are fixing that next patch, so there is some goodness there. Vampire is highly recommended for the next two skills I'm going to talk about. Right now, Accelerating Drain is one of the strongest, easiest CCs and damage hits a Magicka character can do, because it's very easy to bar swap, cancel it, and it gives you the full stun for 3 seconds. So fundamentally, your combo would look like waiting for your ultimate's ready, hitting them with your Blast Bones into a Force Pulse with a Glacial Colossus, and then stun them with the Accelerating Drain. When all three of those hits, they're going to be getting hit with, I've seen Stalking Blast Bones hit up to 5k, and Glacial Colossus is usually a 10k hit every time it pounds the ground.
Oh yeah, Blast Bones hits like a truck.
If not more, so that's 30,000 there, 20,000 there, plus your Force Pulse. So basically you're just going to overpower them with the huge tick from Accelerating Drain, and I'll just burst them down before they can respond.
Yeah.
So traditionally, my personal thing is I like Bloodspawn, because most of your kills are going to be worked around your ultimate. Without your ultimate, you're going to have a really hard time killing people, because this class just doesn't have that burst that most classes do.
Right.
But still super solid. You can also run a couple hots on here, like the Destro. It's not the Destructive Reach, it's Destructive something else, but it's the damage over time effect from the Destruction Staff. You can add that or Soul Trap. Or Degeneration, and those three, any of those three dots will do. You can put them as well on your front bar, along with your Glacious Colossus and those three abilities I just listed. So that's kind of your offensive toolkit. The only difference to your combo at that point will be doing your, say, Soul Trap and Degeneration to add two hots. Then you're going to do your Blast Bones into a Force Pulse, into your ultimate Glacial Colossus, and then stun them with Accelerating Drain. So there's your offensive attacks, rotations, and combinations on front bar. Now for defensively, this character has some very good defensive skills. They're all just kind of unique, and you have to get the morphs for it. So one of the ones I really like is Dead in Pain. You sap health from corpses, every granting you 2 ultimate and healing for X amount of time for each 1 second, for 2 seconds the corpse is consumed. So every single corpse around you, you use this skill, you're getting 2 seconds of healing, alt gen, and on top of that you're getting major protection for the entire time the effect runs. So you're looking at 30% less damage if there's 3 corpses around you, that's major protection for 6 seconds. If there's 8 corpses, you know, it just keeps going up. While this ability is slotted, you also damage taken is also reduced by 30%. So overall, very underrated skill that a lot of people look over, but super nice for that damage mitigation and some healing and alt gen. And as for your corpses, your Stalking Blast Bones, your Spirit Guardian, and your Summoner's Armor all create corpses. So if you time using that ability with your 3 things that drop off, you'll always have a nice uptime with it.
Okay.
And then Resistant Flesh is kind of like your Breath of Life. It's a big fat heal. You do defile yourself by only 15%, but you also grant target spell and physical resistance equal to half the amount healed for 3 seconds. So say your health is really low and you heal yourself for 10k, you're going to have 5,000 more resistance now for 3 seconds. So it's a nice spammable hit. Again, more damage resistance combined with the 33% less damage you get from dead and pain. Then we go on to our next ability that synergizes even more ridiculously, the Spirit Guardian, healing you X amount of health every 2 seconds. While this thing is attached to you, you take 10% less damage the entire time. So altogether, now you're looking at 43% reduced damage. And then on back bar, if you want to be really ridiculous, you can do Temporal Guard, which is another 8%. So you're looking at over 50% damage mitigation on a Magicka Necro. So you're gonna barely feel any pressure. One ward will do you fine, like one dampened magic ward with all this mitigation. You're never gonna feel like you're getting hurt. Great healing. Summoner's Armor is your major resistance and spell resistance buff. Also, when it is active, 15% reduction of cost for any of the Skeletal Mage, Spirit Mender, and Blast Bones. So you can get reduced cost for all your man spammable abilities. And then for your getaway defensive tooltip, Elusive Mist if you're a vampire. This skill really helps because you're going to notice that Magicka Necros are very slow. So not having Elusive Mist or like a channeled acceleration type skill, you're going to feel really slow. So it'll be nice to have that. So that's kind of like your defensive rotation. If you feel you're getting too much damage, you use Dead and Pain to start the hot. Resistant Flesh is going to give you huge resistances. Put a ward up, reset your buffs, line of sight with Elusive Mist, and you're good to go into a huge Colossus ground pound around the corner with a Blast Bones just to mug them.
Okay.
So, solid class. Potions that I recommend would be either Tripod or the Immovable. I would do Magicka and Health.
I gotcha. Now, what kind of sets would a Magicka Warden be interested in running? Like, for different situations, as far as like dueling versus Cyrodiil versus group BGs, that kind of thing. What kind of sets are we looking at?
So I would give you my first build would be a dueling setup. So that would probably be Slimecross, Spellstrat, and Necropotence. That's the only time I really find Spellstrat helpful because it gives a huge amount of damage for a singular target, while Necropotence gives huge flat stats. And then you can use a glyph and your boon for your recovery. So you kind of have like a nice trifecta of damage and ability to kind of defend with decent sustain for a 1v1 situation. For group play, I think again those mech stats would be nice, so you can do like a Shacklebreaker, Necropotence, and Bloodspawn, and that's gonna kind of give you some stamina so you can break free, lots of mech stats, some good stamina, magic recovery, and then the monster set again is a flex spot, so it could be Slimecraw, could also be Bloodspawn. For Overland, I would say again, you have so much utility for defense, so again, those max stat type damage setup. So if you're in CP Cyrodiil, I would do like a Bright Throat and Necropotence combo with either again Slimecraw or Natural King, Bloodspawn. So those three different setups are going to kind of help you with your group play. Compared to your 1v1 in non-CP. The only difference in non-CP is you'll really want Bright Throat over the other options because sustain can be very hard.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense to me. That sounds pretty solid, really.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else to add to that, Graham?
They are a character that handles line of sighting really well. They're a really good character for getting around a corner while being able to still see your enemy, hitting that Blast Bones and activating your ground pound, your glacial Colossus Glacial. That way when they round the bend, they're hitting right into a big huge burst. So really make sure you take advantage of line of sighting with that particular character and it'll reward you really well.
Okay.
But I think that's it for me, unless you got some more questions.
No, that pretty much covers it. Have you, you've played the Magicka Warden pretty extensively, haven't you?
You mean Magicka Necromancer? You're saying Warden.
Right, sorry, my bad. Yeah, Magicka Necromancer, I didn't mean that.
You're good. I played it not too much. I messed around with it on console, so it's been a while since I played, so I just kind of did my research on what's current and what's helpful based on a lot of different people and put my own info in. But I am familiar with it, yes, but would I say it's one of my best characters? No.
Really?
Yeah, no, I didn't get too much chance. I went more for the Stam the first time around.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I've heard the Stam Necromancer is just bonkers in PvP.
Oh, it's ridiculous, and it still is. The next patch, it's going to be even better because they'll have the Blast Bones kind of bugs fixed. They really made that look nice. I don't know if you've watched any PTS servers, but it looks clean.
Oh, good. Oh, perfect. So, I'm going to move on into the PvE side of things since we lost mission there out of our call. So, I'm just following Outcast builds here just to get everybody started with a Magicka Necromancer.
Yep.
First off, I'm going to start with the beginner setup, which is you're going to want to wear Law of Julianos.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to want to wear Magnus's Gift. And then you're going to want to wear 3 pieces of Willpower. And then your weapons are going to be Magnus's Gift. And that's the beginner setup for it. Just to get you going and stuff. Next step up is we've got Burning Spellweave and Mother Sorrow. And for our monster set, we're going to be running Zons. So, we are... That's the next gear setup for a little more advanced stuff. Now this next setup is for trials and for dungeons and stuff like that. And this is a little more advanced setup right here. So you're going to be running Perfected False Gods. You're going to be running Mother's Sorrow. Again, you're going to be running Zons. And that weapon 2 is Crushing Wall, which is the set bonus of that is your light and heavy attacks deal an additional 1341 damage to enemies in your wall of elements, which is fantastic. You're doing a little bit more damage just for casting your normal rotations here. So moving on from gear sets, we're going to be I just want to talk about a few points about the Necro, a few benefits and advantages here. First off, we've got high single target damage. So we've got high ranged and melee damage. Crazy area of effect damage. It's got good sustain, easy survivability due to the Magicka shields, and it's great for trials, dungeons, and even Maelstrom. So overall, the Necromancer is pretty well-round class, if you ask me. And now we're going to move into rotations. So, first off, in case you don't know, you're going to be light attack weaving in between everything that you do here. So, whenever possible, activate things like a Skeletal Mage, activate things like Channeled Acceleration and Blast Bones before the fight starts. That way you gain some good burst advantage. Now the static rotation is just this. You're going to be using Unstable Wall of Elements. Then you're going to be using your Light Attack. And then you're going to be using Unnerving Boneyard, Light Attack, Weapon Swap, light attack, blast bones, light attack, skeletal mage, light attack, ricochet skull, light attack, blast bones, light attack, mystic siphon, light attack, ricochet skull, light attack, blast bones, light attack, degeneration, weapon swap, and start back over, folks. So it's got really one weapon swap in there, so it's a pretty static rotation. And just to go back over that in case you guys missed any of it, the main abilities here, I'm going to leave out the light attacks because you guys all know that you need to be light attack weaving here. So it's unstable wall of elements, unnerving boneyard, weapon swap, blast bones, skeletal mage, ricochet skull, blast bones again, mystic siphon, ricochet skull, blast bones again, degeneration, weapon swap, and start right back over. And that's pretty much the way it is. That's the static rotation there, and that alone will get you where you need to be for your DPS. Nice static rotation, nice and easy, and it's a pretty easy rotation, if you ask me. So, moving on, we're going to be talking about a couple different food buffs that you can use. You can use Arteum Pickled Fishbowl, and what this does is it increases your max health by 56-52 and max magicka by 5,117 for 2 hours. And additionally, fish may be drawn to you, so that's a little perk, I guess, if you're a fisherman. And in case you have sustain issues, or you don't have access to False God's Devotion, or you're not a Breton, I recommend using the Witch Mother's Potent Brew drink, or the Clockwork Citrus Filet. So, Witch Mother's Potent Brew increases your max magicka by 2856, max health by 3094, and your max magicka recovery by 315 for 2 hours. And of course, these are all effect based on your level. So, moving on, Munda Stones. You want to make sure to use the Shadow Munda Stone. This will be nice, especially during the execute, where you can reach 100% spell crit chance due to the passive Death Kneel that we just went over. And what the Shadow Munda Stone does, it increases your critical damage. Now you've got a couple races to choose from. Breton is the recommended and is best for sustain. Altmer, which gives you that extra damage. You could do Khajiit, which is great for your crit, or you could do Dark Elf. So, those races are really recommended for this class. And the potions that you're going to be wanting to use are your Essence of Spell Power, and what this does is it grants major sorcery, which increases your spell damage by 20%, as everybody knows. And it also grants Major Prophecy, which gives you 2191 spell crit rating. And it also restores 7582 magicka immediately. And it grants you that Major Intellect, which covers your magicka recovery by 20%. And these are all, with all your passives and your alchemy, these will last for 47.6 seconds with a 45 second cooldown. And that's pretty much what it is with the Magicka Necro. Now, I've just got a couple more builds that I want to go over. We've got an AoE setup here. And what we're going to be using as far as sets is Perfected False God's Devotion. Just in case you guys don't know, AoE is Area of Effect, and this is the Area of Effect setup. This will help increase your damage on trash packs during dungeons and trials, and you can choose really any Magicka-based monster set, but I prefer Iceheart because it provides so much damage mitigation. So you're going to be wearing Perfected False God's Devotion, you're going to be wearing Mother's Sorrow, and then you're going to be wearing Iceheart, and all the way down your first weapon is going to be Mother's Sorrow, and then your second weapon is Crushing Wall, which again, that increases your light and your heavy attacks by 1341 damage to all enemies that are within your wall of elements. Now, if you're new to Maelstrom Arena, moving on to the next build, I highly recommend checking out the full Maelstrom Arena Veteran Guide. Always make sure to start on a new wave off with a heavy attack to restore a lot of resources. So what you're going to be wearing, again, is False God's Devotion. For the monster set, you're going to be wearing Grothdar this time around, and then straight Mother's Sorrow from there on out. And for your skills, you're going to be running... you'll be running Mystic Siphon. You're going to be running Skeletal Arcanist. You're going to be running Crushing Shock. You're going to be running Stalking Black Blast Bones and Soul Splitting Trap on your front bar, with Shooting Star as your ultimate. Now on your back bar, you're going to be running Elemental Blockade, Unnerving Boneyard, Harness Magicka, Channeled Acceleration, of course, and Spirit Guardian with the Elemental Rage Destro ulti on that. And that covers pretty much every build that Outcast has available for us, as far from beginner to advanced, even Maelstrom, trials, and everything. Now, things obviously will change depending on your playstyle, and you can use whatever is best for you. You know, like we've said in the past, it's your game. You play the way you want to play, but these are just some setups that Outcast has kind of done his research, done his homework on, and they work great. So these are some great setups to get you going. Grim, do you do a little bit of PvE, don't you?
A smidge, yes. Just enough to get what I need.
Yep. Same here. But, yeah, so that's what you're going to be using. And just to recap on the dummy rotation. So I just wanted to go back over the rotation for the dummy one more time. And again, make sure you're light attacking.
Did I come back yet?
Every build. You use an Unstable Wall of Elements, Unnerving Boneyard,
nope.
Weapon Swap, Blast Bones, Skeletal Mage, Ricochet Skull, Blast Bones, Mystic Siphon, Ricochet Skull, Blast Bones, Degeneration Weapon Swap, start right back over. And that's the gist of the target dummy rotation. And that about covers the PvE side of things. So, next segment we got here is, as you guys know, I'm Jay Rumberg, and I do a lot of PvP, and I do a ton of solo play. And as far as like Cadwell Silver, Cadwell's Gold, I'm on my third time of Cadwell's Gold. And this is it's a great storyline. I highly recommend everybody does it. And it's just you get some decent rewards out of it, and I just cannot stress how good the storyline is about it. So again, here's my solo thoughts here, my solo play thoughts. I've only got a couple here. First off, Cadwell's Silver, Cadwell's Gold. The first thing that I have to say about that is sometimes it gets a little monotonous. Sometimes it gets a little bit boring. But if you're into the solo play and you're into the storylines, make sure that you guys do this, because you guys are going to get a ton of skill points for completing those objectives. And that doesn't mean by doing this just the storyline of the zone. That means by completing the objectives of the Cadwell's Almanac. So, first thing I gotta say is I love how Cadwell's Silver and Gold, it takes you everywhere. It takes you all over each zone. Takes you everywhere you need to go, gets you all those way shrines that you need, and the storylines along the way are just fantastic.
Yep.
And one gripe I have about a popular add-on is dressing room. I really wish that it would switch your Munda stone as well, as well as your as well as your gear and your abilities. So, other than that, that's pretty much all I've got. Grim, do you got anything to add?
No, I think we covered all the bases of the big, big news article, and covered a little bit of the PvP and PvE.
Perfect. Well, I think we can call that a show. Too bad Mission was unable to finish the show with us. He was there at the beginning, but we must have lost him somewhere throughout that. But
yep.
We'll get that all sorted out and stuff. And first off, we're gonna do the outro here. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna plug Mission's promos here.
Yes,
first
sir.
Off, you can find Mission. He runs the Twitter, which is, go ahead and give us a follow at Brothers of Tam on Twitter. Shoot us an email. We're brothersoftamrielpodcast@gmail.com. And you can find Mission streaming at twitch.tv/brothersoftamrielpodcast. And he runs the podcast. And you can always find him streaming. He streams all the time. And if you like what you see, go ahead and turn on those notifications. That way you guys know when we're going live and all to keep up to date with everything. And as far as me, I'm Jay Rumberg. As you guys know, you can find me on twitch.tv/JayRumberg. Again, I'm streaming all the time. Usually after work, which is around 3 p.m. Central Standard Time to 4 p.m. Central Standard Time. And on the weekends, I like to stream in the morning. You can also follow me on Twitch, on Twitter, at JeffAnotherShot. And again, I just want to reiterate, we want to hear from you guys. brothersoftamrielpodcast@gmail.com. And as far as the reviews go, for every 5-star review that we get with a written review, we are going to shout you out on the show. We're gonna shout you out by name, and you're gonna be famous afterwards. So that's pretty much all I got. Grim, where can I find you, buddy?
Yes, sir. So you can find me at in-game at GrimFate2555. I am also starting up a YouTube channel for some different videos and gameplay mechanics, and I do have a Twitch. I'm just getting everything set up before I start, but that is also at GrimFate2555 for everything. Same for my email, GrimFate255@gmail.com. If you have any questions or need any help in-game, shoot them there, and I'll get back to you as soon as possible.
Perfect. Well, as always, folks, travel safe and fight hard, and we will see you next time.
Take care.